Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
I feel momentum. Do you feel it? Every week we're getting a little more. Let's keep inviting people. I believe God wants to fill. We're filling the morning service. It's over capacity. But I'm believing, I'm prophesying that we're going to fill the 5 p.m. as well. And that these walls either side of us are going to be pushed back to the walls over there. And God wants to do something in His people tonight. Amen? I'm going to read from 2 Kings chapter 4. Oh, that's a shocker, isn't it? Some of you guys are like, please no. And I was like, God, when I'm ready to receive the word this week, I'm ready, God, speak to me. And God's like, I'm going to speak out of 2 Kings chapter 4. And I was like, God, we've been in that one a while right now. We've been preaching left, right, and center on it. And God said, no, we're going to speak from it tonight again. So, who's happy that God's word is alive and breathing? Every time you read it, it's fresh. Every time you pick it up, it's not old news, it's new news. Every time you open it, it has something specific to speak into our situation and our circumstances. Amen? And so we're going to go to it together. And I'm not apologizing, by the way, for reading from this passage, because God said that we were here. God said that this is the vision for our church this year. And we've got something to learn in this passage. And we're going to get every little bit of life we can from it. Amen? Says this, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elijah and cried out, my husband who served you is dead. I'll stop there. I love that she came in the name that resonated with Elisha. You know, we have a name that resonates with our situations and changes our situations. She wasn't known by the prophet, but her husband had served the prophet, and so she didn't come in her name. She didn't come in anybody else's name, but her husband's name. And when we go through situations and circumstances, sometimes we can't go in our name. We can't go in the doctor's name. We can't go in the bank's name or whatever it looks like, whatever situation you're walking through. We have to go into that situation in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus changes everything about our story. The name of Jesus changes everything when we come in the name of Jesus. We were just singing, there is life in the name of Jesus. We were just singing about how He is the name above every other name. We were just glorifying the name of Jesus. And I feel to share with somebody, stop going in your name and start going in His name. Stop going to that situation. God, give me the strength. No, declare Jesus' name over it. It will turn around. Bind and break the things that need to be bound and broken in your life through the name of Jesus. She says, my husband who served you is dead. And you know how we fear the Lord. But now a creditor has come and is threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asks. Tell me, what do you have in your house? Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. I would think Elisha would be like, okay, go get some provision from your friends and neighbors. Like, go get a little bit of oil from every friend you know and every neighbor you know. If you beg hard enough, they might give you a full bottle, and that's how this is going to go down. But Elisha says, go get empty vessels. Everyone say, empty vessels. We think in that moment, well, I'm already begging. I'm going to go for the whole thing. I'm going to get a full vessel of oil. Elisha says, go get empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from the flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing the jars to her. I love how she sent the sons out to go get the jars. Her sons kept bringing the jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. Today's message is called, Can't Take My Oil. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can't take my oil. Turn the other person and say, can't take my oil. put an exclamation mark on the end while you're at it. I don't think you can accurately interact with this passage if you've never been left on empty. I don't think you can fully grasp the situation or fully grasp the power of this passage if you've never felt empty. Anybody ever felt empty? Or am I the only one? Maybe you've been empty in the past. Maybe you're feeling empty right now. The beauty of our relationship with God is that He can teach us through what we feel and what we're walking through just how powerful He is. And there's people who are feeling empty and there's people who are feeling pretty full. This message is for both of you. I love how God can teach us in our emptiness how His provision is there. Can I put a thought forward? In the story that we see, the empty was just the beginning and not the end. I always read the story like empty was the end of the story, but if there was no empty part in the story, there's no story at all. And I feel like some people in the room, you feel that because you lack something or there's something that's lacking or empty in your life, that it sort of feels like the end. Friend, can I tell you, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And it has to get through from our mind to our heart. We have to know whenever we see something that's ending, it's a new beginning in the things of God. The Word of God reveals the ways of God. And the ways of God, the way God moves in this passage, is He starts when you're on empty. In other words, if the lady had everything that was full, there's no miracle and there's no provision. But because this lady came to a place of empty, God's hand was ready to work. The Word of God reveals the ways of God. What is the way of God in this word? It's this. Empty isn't the end, it's just the beginning. Your emptiness is not your end. In fact, some people need to go home and tell yourself that in the mirror. My empty is not my end. The situation that seems dire, dead, and done is not the end. It's just the beginning. I'm just about to see God at work. Am I saying that God caused your emptiness? Absolutely not. Am I saying that God can redeem it? Absolutely I am. Am I saying that God caused you to walk through the situation that you're walking through? Absolutely not. But am I saying that God can take that situation and work His power in your weakness? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Can't take my oil. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. If you're feeling a bit foolish because of something you did and it's left you on empty, we serve a faithful God tonight. If you're feeling a little bit unwise, then we serve a God of all power. If you're feeling powerless in your situation of emptiness, let me remind you that we serve an all-powerful, omnipotent God. He is all-powerful. Your empty isn't the end. Turn to the person next to you and say that. Empty isn't the end. This is what empty is. Emptiness is a clear sign that God is about to move. If there's no empty, God's not moving. Because He can't move in something that's already full. Emptiness is a clear sign. The lady in the story had an empty house. She had empty accounts. She had an empty marriage. In fact, she was beyond empty. She was indebted. But despite her emptiness, despite her finances being ruined, despite her family being ruined, her marriage being ruined, her home being ruined, her future prospects being ruined, she still had a little oil. Let me remind you today, you may not have anything. The world may have taken everything. That relationship may have taken everything. That situation may have taken everything. But do you know what the world can't take? What relationships can't take? What no power in hell can take the oil that's on your life. You've still got a little oil, friend. And it's not about how much, it's about that I've got it. The The oil, the anointing that's on your life is here and it's upon your life. It's not an if, but maybe. The oil, the anointing, the breakthrough is on you. The lady was carrying her breakthrough and she didn't realize it. No husband, no money, no way out, but she still had a little oil. The situations we've walked through, they will take everything. There will be situations where we walk through and everything will be broken. Everything will come to a place of empty. But in that moment, we remember, I've still got my oil. I've still got my breakthrough power. I've still got the anointing of God. The problem can't take your oil. The situation can't take your peace. That person may have taken everything, but they cannot take who God has created you to be. Can I have my satchel, otherwise known as my man bag? It still highlight the point a bit better. My purse. No, this is the thing. This thing, I wear this, I've only just started wearing about a week ago. This is purely a practical tool that I'm wearing. I'm not wearing it because it's in fashion. I'm not wearing it to put my vape in. You can check it after. There's no vapes or cigarettes in here. I'm not wearing it because I thought it was a great idea and to look cool. I wear this because I lose everything. And this is the thing that I've realized about this. This is a divisive object in the church. I can wear this at youth on Friday night, and all the youth will come up to me, I love the satchel, Dan. Thanks. Thanks, bro. That's awesome. I wear it to church on a Sunday morning. I get looks, bro. What are you doing in here with that? What are you doing? Is that a man bag? Is that what I think it is? Can I check that to make sure there's nothing in there, contraband or anything? I get looks on a Sunday morning, but I get congratulated for it on a Friday night. I sort of like it, to be honest. But if I've realized a few other things too. It's not only divisive, but if I wear it like this, it's a merce. The first day I had it, I wore it like this, and Ashton, where is he? He stops me, Dan, don't you ever wear it like that. Don't you ever. It's a merce if I wear it like that. A merce is a man purse, by the way. But if I wear it like this, if I get it. Now it's just, I'm in the flow. I've got what I need. It's so handy because I've told you this probably 10,000 times. I lose everything. Like, it's not an if or maybe I might lose it. I lose my keys. I lose my phone. I lose things constantly. And guess what? Since I've had this, I've not lost anything. Like, and I feel a super power come over me when I'm at youth and someone goes, Dan, do you have your keys? I'm like, do I have my keys? They're right here. My keys are right here. Do you have my phone? Yep, Poppy, I've got my phone. Even the best part is when we walk back to the car after church or after youth and I'm usually too tired, Poppy will be like, did you remember the keys? Now, usually I'm like, oh, I have to go back up. I forgot my keys or I forgot my phone or my whatever it is. And I'll be like, nah, I've got them. I've got it all in here. Everything I need is in here. But, and also saying that, if I lose this, I lose everything. So this is a sort of all or nothing type of thing. That's why you'll see me at church. I wear it like, even though I have my, see, I will wear it everywhere because I'm like, I'm not losing this. If I lose this, I've lost everything. But this is the thing that I've come to realize. There's only one little problem. Sometimes I will look for the very thing that I'm already carrying. And I've literally looked for my phone for like a few minutes before. Where is it? Where's my phone? Where are my keys? Where's that thing that I need? And I will have a moment of realization that I'm already carrying it. And some of us, this is my point. Some of us are looking for the very thing that we already carry. You've been searching for the anointing. You've been going from conference or person to person or church to church trying to find that breakthrough. Guess what? You already carry it. You've been waiting for that one message to bring everything to light. Guess what? You already carry it. You already carry it. You already carry it. Stop wasting your energy searching for the things that we already carry. It's time to get a realization, church, that I already carry the keys to the thing that I need. I already carry overflow in my bones. I already carry breakthrough power. It's not an if, but maybe. I carry the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to keep it on me from now so I don't lose it. We're looking for the anointing, church. The anointing is in us, on us, around us. At any moment, we have to become aware of it. We have to activate it. 2 Corinthians 1:21 to 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Guaranteeing what is to come. When I'm in the will and way of God, it's not if I get through, it's how I get through. When we're in when we're walking instead with God, it's not a maybe you might get it or that might be breakthrough. Breakthrough will come one way or another. I've just got to carry the anointing and activate it in my life. His anointing is on you. Nothing can take the oil of God. Nothing can steal the anointing that is upon your life. Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Somebody needed to hear that afresh. God has called you, God has gifted you, God has anointed you to do what only you can do. Stop looking for that opportunity. There's opportunity today. Stop looking, waiting for tomorrow. There's opportunity to activate who God has called you to be right here, right now. I just love that. The situation took everything. Elisha says, what do you have? Absolutely nothing except some oil. Some of you look around tonight, I'll ask you what you have. Absolutely nothing. No hope, no future, no money, no job, no whatever. But I still got my oil. I still got everything that I need. The gift of empty is that it pushes us to our knees. Limitation is the gateway to encountering God at a deeper level. Thank God for limitation. Because if we could do it, I'm still wearing my... Thank you. Limitation is the gateway to God's provision, God's breakthrough, and God's knowing God at a deeper level. Let me put it like this. There's no encounter in comfort. And although we like comfort, comfort is not healthy. Can I have the band back up? For us as believers. Smith Wigglesworth says this. Great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. Great triumphs can only come out of great trials. This is what I've realized. Our problem, although it sometimes is that we feel empty, our biggest problem is that we're too full. Even when we're empty, we do a great job of looking full. We can come to church, put on the smile, we can go to that business meeting, we can go whatever we need to do, and we can look full, even though we're empty. I find that this story is more about being empty than anything else because it teaches us something. If we're too full to be empty, then there's no outpouring. If we fill our schedules, fill our accounts, fill every problem that we see and try to cover everything that we see, yes, we will feel full. But we still might be empty. If we do everything the world expects us to do, if we have all of our ducks in a row, which never happens by the way, all of our ducks in the row, everything's going well, we may feel full for a moment but be empty in eternity. And our responsibility as a church is to learn to live more like the widow who was empty than to be like the elite who would have everything. You see, we need to need God. And being in a place where we need God is the only place where his anointing falls. You notice, God can't move in a room where he's not wanted. Not that he can't, he won't. Correction. He won't move in a room where he's not wanted. But when we get empty enough and we bring the vessels, even though things may be going great, God, I'll pour out. Even though I may have the position in my job that I've dreamt of my whole life and I feel like I'm accomplished, God, for your sake, to be in relationship with you, I will humble myself again. Even though I may have followers or influence, I may have the full account, I may have just sold the house, I may not feel like I really need you right now, God, you know what? I'll empty myself again. Because I want continual new overflow in my life. I don't want to ever get to the place where God's willing to pour something out, but I'm too full to be poured into. You see, our job is to come to God with a posture of humility and say, God, would you empty me out? Philippians 2 verse 7, talking about Jesus. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Some versions say that Christ emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man. Jesus emptied himself. When was the last time you emptied yourself? Because it's only in the emptying that there's overflow. If we can't get empty, there is no overflow. There is no overflow. But when we're empty, God is ready to work. Both stories, Jesus and this lady, they both were obedient to the call. My obedience, your obedience is what triggers the miraculous. But your capacity is what determines the extent. Your obedience may trigger the outpouring, but our capacity is what determines the extent of that outpouring. Better to be empty and filled than to be quarter full and only filled a little. Quarter full of all the wrong things, quarter full of all the world's accomplishments, quarter full, whatever it looks like. We may feel so full and we may feel so great. Better to be emptied of all of those things and filled with His power. We choose to be empty. When empty and obedience meet, Jesus on the cross, Jesus coming to earth, the lady going into the house, closing the door, pouring the oil. When empty and obedience meet, it results in elevation. The tide starts to rise. Philippians 2:9, just after the verse I've just read, it says, therefore. You know, there is a therefore for your life. There is a therefore in your emptiness. There is a therefore when you humble yourself and you pour out and you empty yourself of all the accolades. You empty yourself of all the titles. You empty yourself of responsibilities and pressures and you just get in the presence of God. He will pour out. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, God what? You guys have to come with me here. Therefore, God what? Elevated. He elevated. Let's try that again. Therefore, God what? Elevated. You want the tide to rise? You got to get obedient and you got to get in the presence. You got to get obedient and empty, hand in hand. Therefore, God elevated. I was at a youth pastors conference this week, youth leaders and pastors. It was an amazing time with Youth Alive. And we're standing there on the first night, and I remember we're worshiping. Now, this is the funny part of this whole story, is that I'm standing there and I realized I'm no longer the young youth pastor. I'm actually probably the older youth pastor in the room. It's a bit funny. I used to be like the youngest. Now I'm like one of the most old in the room, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And I'm worshiping God. And I remember God saying, will you leave it all at the door? I was like, what does that mean? It's like, will you leave your pastor title? Will you leave whatever it is, the responsible regional director, whatever it looks like? Will you leave soon to be father? Will you leave whatever it is in the pressures of your life, the responsibilities at church, the responsibilities of work, the responsibilities with everything else, finances? Will you leave it all at the door and just worship me empty? Can I tell you this? I've seen this in the next generation. The next generation doesn't need a church that's too full to be empty. And what I'm saying is, parents, they don't need a mum and dad who have it all together and have everything figured out. They just need to see you're empty, because they'll see it filled. They will just see a desperation on your life. And so I wonder if we can stand up. My question for you tonight, church, is will you leave it all at the door? What's happening out there, are we going to leave it all? Parent, leave that title at the door. Whatever your job title is, leave it at the door. Whatever your pressures are, leave it at the door. This is a holy moment where He's about to fill those who are empty. And we've got to get empty so that we can be filled. We've got to empty ourselves of the accolade, titles, responsibilities, and things that we think we need so that we can get in the presence of God and say, God, I want to be filled with your presence. God, I want you to activate my oil. God, I'm going to be obedient to the call, and I'm going to start to pour out praise and worship in my life. So this is what we're going to do. You do whatever you need to do. You get in the posture however you need to get. You can be on your knees. You can have your hands raised. You can take a seat out of your chair. You can come down the front, take a step out of your chair and come down the front. But you do, and it's going to be probably a physical action, because a physical reaction results in spiritual reaction. When I do something physically, like raise my hands, I'm not doing it because of what we do. We're doing it because we're releasing ourselves from the pressure. We're saying, God, I've carried some stuff here tonight, and now I choose to release it in worship. When we're jumping up and down the front, we're not just doing it because it's fun. We're doing it because we're praising God, and you start to feel some stuff start to break. When I came in, I felt a little tired. But when I was praising, I felt God do something. I felt something lift off of my life. And the reality is, church, we cannot stay in our comfort zone tonight, because empty looks ugly. Empty looks ugly. But that's the type of worship that God loves. He loves, God, I don't care what I look like right now. God, I'll get on my knees. God, I'll come from my chair. God, I'll come down the front. God, I'll raise my hands. God, I'll do whatever I need to do to position myself for an outpouring of your presence. I don't feel the responsibility to look good because I left it at the door. I'm going to invite you, do whatever you need to do right now. But you get on your knees, you come down the front, you do whatever you need to do. You might want to raise your hands. Come on, empty looks ugly.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.